Ross Tucker coming up in 1 hour's time. Nick Wilson, Spencer German back on Afternoon Drive. It's been an interesting week in Berea. And, of course, not only do we have the Jim Harbaugh-led Chargers coming to town, but the trade deadline awaits next week as well. Where will this team be 1 week from now? Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about it with their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every episode. Subscribe to the podcast now at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So, you threw something out there at the end of this segment. When it comes to Jameis, we do have a couple calls on this. If you guys want to hop in on it, 216-474-0092. Is there a path moving forward for Jameis Winston to be the starting quarterback beyond the rest of this year? Now, you had said specific to Sunday.
Yeah.
Can you throw your hypothetical by me again?
Because, like we sort of alluded to, if there was really some conversations inside the organization that people were kind of growing tired, if you will, of Jameis and his sort of his antics and the way he does things.
And by the way, that was before the Baltimore game, so that we have not heard any of that since, coincidentally.
Right. So is that what it's based on, though? Like, the second he looks like just kind of the risk-averse Jameis that's going to cost you games, even if you win, is that where it goes back to like, yeah, I don't know that we can really keep rolling with this guy, and that's where things change? Or is it just based off of like, if they're winning football games, which is what people were sort of attributing to Deshaun at the time, right? It was, if they win football games, who cares that he plays as a quarterback? Like, is that enough, or does he have to give you more of like what you saw against Baltimore for them to really like commit to him long term? And maybe it's not just like a this weekend conversation. Maybe it's like a by the end of the season conversation, if he really plays it out. Like, is that the thing that it rests on? It's like, well, yeah, we started the season 1-6, and we end up finishing 8-9 because Jameis did some nice things at the or because the team sort of turned it around. But Jameis was just okay. Is it kind of like, does he have to play at the level he did against Baltimore and win games, or is it just like, is winning just enough for them to convince themselves like, yeah, well maybe we'll bring this guy back next year?
It's the PJ Walker principle, right? It is, you can play poorly and still be the quarterback if you're winning. But the second that you play, or the second that you start losing games, the numbers have to look really good. And I think it's going to be tough for people to evaluate Jameis, because I think he is going to be, he's Mr. Yardage. You know, like I think we sometimes conflate with, well, there were a lot of extended drives. I think you have to judge him off, are you scoring, right? Are you adding more points to the board than you're taking them off the board or giving to the other team? And I don't know the perfect answer on that. I tend to think two turnovers. If you're turning the ball over two times a game or less, and you're getting two touchdowns or more per game, that's the theory plus win. But if you're one touchdown, three interceptions, and it's a loss, well, the DTR thing's gonna all of a sudden open. If it's three touchdowns and interception and you lose, well, you weren't the problem. Does that, like, it is a sliding scale that there's not, like, a perfect thing.
And it's kind of ironic, because this is kind of the conversation we were having with Deshaun at the beginning of the year, right? Where it was like, is it more about winning, or is it more about how Deshaun plays? And it's kind of the same thing with Jameis at this point.
It's such a freer conversation, though, because we no longer expect to make the playoffs, and we don't have 230
million. Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It was like, it's different, though, now. Like, the timing is different, because we know where this team is at. We're already kind of not expecting them to make the playoffs. So if they were to somehow make a miraculous run to the postseason, it would just be like a cherry on top of all of this. But it's just kind of being able to be like, okay, now we can just kind of evaluate the quarterback position and see what this thing is. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, if Jameis plays some games like he did on Sunday, others where he's the throwing it up into coverage and gets picked off, and he has some just completely boneheaded plays that we know are just going to be sort of characteristic with him, and they maybe lose, I still think that's a quarterback that you can look at and say, we can bring this guy next year back next year as like a bridge to whatever potential rookie that we draft or whatever, and then kind of run with it from there.
So I think it's winning, playing well, and again, that statistical thing. Here's the other thing. I don't know everybody buys all of what Jameis sells, right? Like, I don't know how much of the Jameis, and when I'm talking about the messaging with the media, the TikTok stuff, if you guys haven't followed, his TikTok is funny as hell. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But, you know, I think there is an element with Jameis that I think there's been a consistent question. I even have it. Like, what if this is real and what if this is a facade?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, when we talked with Jameis after he signed in March, there was nothing about that that felt like a facade.
Yeah.
It's not. He felt like a real dude. It was a great conversation. Now, when I see him in certain instances, it does feel a bit like the Deshaun, you know, decrying the fans cheering. Some of that was performative.
For sure.
And I say that and with really love good and respect.
At like the, he's really good at like the ad-libbing off the rip, like performative stuff.
Yeah, I think that can bite you back. I think that can hurt you too.
Yeah.
Because fake is the one thing that grown-ass adults in that locker room don't love. We've talked about Eat a W for 6 years now.
He was asked about that today, yeah.
People hated that. Like his teammates, Gerald McCoy.
I've asked about this. I brought this up at the beginning during the preseason because, who was it that?
Is it the podcast?
No, it was some. Maybe it was Matt Castle. I don't know. Somebody from the Patriots dynasties talked about how like they didn't need like these rah-rah speeches, but because they were grown ass men and they knew like, hey, you know, you shouldn't need that to like get yourself fired up. But then they also said, actually, you know what? I think it was Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer said that you didn't need the rah-rah speeches because, you know, you're going out and playing football. If that's not motivation enough that you get to play this sport and, you know, you don't, you know, care about the game and you can't understand like this is your job, you got to play hard, then you're doing it wrong. And he was like, so I didn't need that stuff. But he was like, but the most profound moments that he remembered from his Patriots days was when like Tom Brady, who wasn't like rah-rah speech guy, would come out and like every now and then, like he did one in the Super Bowl where he was just like, you'll be remembered forever if you win this game tonight. And he was like, those are the ones that resonated because it was like out of the blue. And so I kind of asked the question, like, doesn't Jameis' shtick get a little bit old for these guys in this locker room when he's out there talking about like CC's pizza parties and stuff like that during the preseason? And
so,
I know
yes.
It changes. I know he changes the message as he goes along. And I do think in those moments, like that's just genuinely him being him. That is like totally his element. He's just around his teammates. I thought the speech he gave pregame that the team put out where he was like in the little huddle and he said like, you play for the name on the back of your jersey, you play for the name on the front of the jersey and on your helmet. And,
yeah.
Well, we don't have decals, but let's just play for the Browns. Like that felt like it was Jameis like in his element. But like, I do think when the camera's on and like the Eminem thing after the game, there's no way you'll ever convince me he didn't think about it at some point. Like, at some point, I got to drop this line.
Well, but I think that... So, one, in fairness to Jameis, and I really... Because I think this is really important. I don't think there are a lot of quarterbacks that speak for every dude in the locker room. Like, yeah. I think some... One of the things I think was unfair with the Deshaun thing was, well, Deshaun... Not everybody likes Deshaun. Yeah, it's an NFL locker room. That was weaponized against Baker, too.
Yeah.
Like,
not everybody likes every player.
And by the way, there's some quarterbacks, like, I guarantee you they were dudes that played with Tom Brady that hated it.
Yeah.
And, like, Baker even spoke to that in Tampa where he's like, yeah, I just want to make this fun again and all that kind of stuff. Like,
and then Tom Brady said
I think with the performative stuff with Jameis, and it is a slippery slope because I think it is well-intentioned.
Yeah.
I also think it's maybe him marketing himself for after football.
Yeah.
So I can also kind of glean that there might be other ideas behind this. But like, I think the problem is, I think if it comes off as fake, man, you lose some real good dudes in the process. And again, this is not a question I can answer.
No.
But like, I'll be honest with you. There are times where I watch those pregame things where I'm like, I don't believe this.
No.
Like, yeah. I think that's problematic if we talk about, can you do this more than... Because right now... Dudes in the locker room are just happy that he's not Deshaun. Right now, dudes in that locker room are happy that he can complete a 30-yard pass and you can have like a good sustainable
Jerry
drive.
Jerry Jeudy, most notably.
But like we're talking about, well, two INTs versus two touchdowns, one INT versus three touchdowns. Dude, that's the same formula they're working with. Is it worth it? And I don't think with more austere guys or guys who have no personality like Tom Brady or who are just Tommy Toughnuts like Tom Brady, I don't think you have the same like almost stakes of, do I buy into Jameis today or not? And I don't know if Jameis can control that, but I do think it's part of the conversation for the Browns.
Well, and let's just be honest, like part of this too, you mentioned it being like him marketing himself for like post career. Some of this too is like the way that he's been able to avoid criticism for some of the seedy things that happened in his life. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. I'm not saying like people do bring those things up, but it is nowhere near as frequent as we bring it up with Deshaun Watson. And that's, again, relates back to why they brought him here in the first place, right? They wanted somebody who had dealt with some off-the-field issues that has now turned his image around, and part of turning that image around is the cutesy-dootsy pregame speeches that Jameis obviously has given you and the performative stuff that we see post-game, before the game, whatever. And so they wanted somebody to sort of come in and show Deshaun Watson, like, here's how I've done this. Here's how I show my personality. I'm not saying Deshaun ever picked up on that, because clearly he's still very defensive and reserved in his own way. But, like, that all is at the premise of this as well. Is like, that's part of what Jameis is going to just kind of do and bring to the table.
I do think it's going to be very interesting to see how Browns fans, because we're talking about this from the player aspect, from the Browns aspect. Do you buy into what he's selling? Do you think it's authentic? I think it's a sliding scale. I also think it's going to be a sliding scale for the fans. And I think that's what makes this. Later in the show, we're going to talk. Albert Breer had some comments yesterday with us that he said the Browns are a dangerous team. You know, like, I'm happy they're no longer a danger to themselves. But the Jameis thing can be a powder keg. In the wrong context, in the wrong situation, if just having fun playing football and it being watchable, if at any point that goes the way of the dodo, I'm talking like if they actually get their way back into the playoff picture, there is a way that I think that this can start to turn on him. We're going to play on the way out. The question and answer earlier today where Jameis was asked about Eminem and the entire situation, you're going to hear the question and Jameis's answer there. This I actually did enjoy.
Have you heard from Eminem since you?
I have not heard from Eminem, but that is, I encourage everyone to just have that mentality, because that's so true in all of our professions. Opportunities only come around once, and we have to be grateful and receive them with authority and make the most of them.
Got some explaining to do. Actually, I just want to get his take on the whole Jameis conversation we started the show with, but I almost don't want to talk about this because it's already become a tedious and annoying conversation. But what happened last night during Game 4 of the World Series where two jabronis, and that's what they are, two just pure idiots, grabbed the hand of Mookie Betts on a foul ball down the right field line. I know the difference from my left and my right. It's not great that I was pointing right and I started to say left. But one guy grabbed his wrist. The other guy, who looked like some sort of, I can't even say what I really think about him, just the quintessential mouth-breathing New York Yankee moron.
That's exactly it. He looked exactly like what you would think of when you think of a New York Yankees fan.
And honestly, like Fred Flintstone's illegitimate child, who also might be slightly inbred. Like, he just looks like, even like people were trying to...
Straight out of The Sopranos, that
so
guy.
So basically, these two dip bleeps grab Mookie Betts' hand and took the ball out of his glove, and a almost Donnybrook ensued. They got kicked out of the game. And the worst part about it was Twitter. And it's so funny that we're going to start here, because the guy was supposed to be able to go to Game 5 tonight, and then the Yankees were like, hey.
Well, I think the MLB stepped in.
No. The Yankees apparently were part of this.
Oh, okay.
They were part of it.
So I had only seen, I guess, I thought originally he was going to be due back, and then I saw somewhere that MLB stepped in. But you're saying the Yankees also were we probably can't let this guy back in?
There's a few different reports on this, but basically the Yankees were like, hey, it'd be great if you didn't come back here. Because what's even wilder is this idiot is a Yankees season ticket holder. And there's a few levels to this. But like, the thing that immediately annoyed me was when people started to use the word assault. And listen, assault, the implication here is intent. He didn't intend to hurt Mookie Betts. He didn't think that much about it. If you saw him, he really just thought, I'm going to take the ball out of his glove. He's just an idiot. Like,
classic,
I think
Yankees fan.
Like, I think we get to this point where, like, I'll be honest, if we want to talk about insidious behavior, when Freddie Freeman, when they were doing the cancer thing about everybody had a different name on the whiteboard about, you know, who you stand up to cancer for, and he put his mom, and they said, you suck, Freddie Freeman. Yeah, it's close. I got it, but you suck, Freddie Freeman. That person is legitimately a worse person than the other guy, because the other guy's just an idiot. Like, we got to stop reacting to every idiot out there. Guys, he's going to be banned to the sun. All right? But people are like, well, he should be thrown in jail.
Watch.
Miss me with that. It wasn't assault.
I bet you, though, this will die down. The World Series will end. It might end tonight. And then he'll probably be back next year with those same seats. I bet you.
But why does it have to be? Like, why do we have to jump to it's assault? It's like, because what it
yeah,
is.
I mean, that's
is
too
it's,
far.
It's the ultimate. Because what we've done now is, on Twitter, when something like this happens, it's not enough. Like, there's nobody gets rewarded. Nobody gets like the most likes for like, what an idiot. Looks like a total doofus. He should not be back the rest of this series, and maybe even like a ban for next year, season ticket revotes or something like that. It's immediately like the first three things I saw were, that's assault. No, it's not. Assault is the intent to hurt somebody. This guy didn't think that far. He's a moron. Like, he is literally just a mouth-breathing doofus. So, like, turning everything into, like, an evil thing. It's not evil. He's just an idiot. Like, but we...
Okay, but I will say this, because this is maybe the more annoying part than any... Other than the fact that, like... So, my instant reaction was, this is just classic Yankees fans. Like, they would do something like this and then celebrate it after the fact. And that's my biggest problem, is, like, you got people like Jesse Rogers at ESPN who, like, leave the stadium and go find the guy afterwards to do a story on him and then, like, profile his entire life. Oh, he's this Yankees fan. He's been going to Yankee Stadium for 20 years. These tickets have been in his family. And he always walks around talking about the 27 championships and blah, blah, blah. And then it becomes this whole thing, and it's this whole folklore where he gets celebrated on social media. And this is the problem with our society today.
Ooh,
is that the,
going on society.
Yes,
I like it. Keep
yes,
cook, King.
We
cook.
Celebrate people who do dumb stuff like this. And then, somebody I think had the tweet last night, like, in 2 days, this guy's going to be on, like, every podcast, and then in 3 days, he'll have his own podcast. Like, it's going to be like the Hawk Tua girl all over again. Like, he's just going to be made famous by this moment.
Wait.
And that's my problem, is, like, we celebrate the dummies. We celebrate the idiots who do dumb you-know-what, and then end up with, like, they somehow get, like, rewarded for it. It's like, we shouldn't be rewarding this guy for all doing right. something that was obviously stupid at
who
the moment.
Who did the Hawk Tua girl hurt? Other than her own hireability.
She's not lumped into the idea.
You literally just lumped her into it.
I was only lumping her in because she was somebody who, like, she went from, like, just this viral moment to, like, now you're qualified to have your own podcast. And that's what this is going to happen with this idiot. He's going to end up getting celebrated in some way. He's going to do every talk show in America.
But
and it's
see,
like,
this,
we shouldn't celebrate this stuff, because here's the problem. Then people think, like, oh, if I do something stupid, it might go viral. And then people just keep pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope.
Yeah,
and what stupid thing they can
do
end up with a podcast and be famous.
Yeah, but that's kind of just the whole part and parcel of having this time in history. So, like, he's just the next idiot. And so, like, when people automatically go to, because this is, to me, this is the same thing as, like, the Browns conversation, where the Browns were like, Browns.
For a day where somebody does something stupid and we get mad at them and then shun them. Like,
well,
Steve Bartman. Steve Bartman, he doesn't want anything to do with society after that whole incident. So,
if 95% of people condemn it, do we have we not weighed in? Like, this, I do think the problem is we're this self-fulfilling prophecy where everything is a way to symbolize the worst of us. I'm sick of sitting here and allowing the worst of us to represent the rest of us, because the rest of us are more. Like, the logical people, and yes, listen, the worst Yankees fans are the worst fans on the planet. I'll be honest. I saw 5% of the worst people on the planet in my hometown 2 weeks ago cheering an injury. But I'm so sick of, because this is honestly, when you react to it in general, you give idiots power. We're giving these idiots power.
But that's my point.
Well, but no, my point is, even in reacting in contempt and saying, there's something performative about being, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Send this man to the moon. Death sentence. Like, these things are stupid. He's a moron. He should never be back for the rest of the series. And if we go farther than that, you're part of the hysteria that gets that ass wagon another opportunity to make, not you, Jax. I was pointing at the ass wagon.
Well, okay then.
The
Jax,
royal
what'd
ass
you do
wagon.
To Nick? My God.
But no, like that. Like, this is a part of it. Like, if you do the thing of, I'm going to soapbox and I'm going to high road. I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm saying social media is doing this. Like, you're part of giving this beast power. He's a moron. All right? We used to do this thing with morons where it'd be like, man, that guy was a moron. And then we would move on.
But we would shame them. My point is we don't move on anymore. That's my point. And I wasn't the person who was out here like, this is assault. Like I said, my instant reaction, and I was also hosting a show, but my instant reaction was, oh, I'm not surprised by that. That's a classic Yankees fan doing something a classic Yankees fan would do. And I made a joke about how that guy looked like what you would think of a Yankees fan looking like. That was my reaction. I wasn't screaming assault. I wasn't doing all those different things. That is to the extreme. But my problem is like, what you're saying should be how it goes. It should be, this guy's a moron. 95% of the people think so. But then you got reporters like chasing after the guy to like get his life story.
But that's the 5%.
But that's the
idiot reporter, right. Who, by the way, I've heard some pretty great things about how he conducted himself here. That idiot reporter is part of the 5%.
Right, but
it's not the 95%.
The problem is that 5% has the ability to then put this person on a pedestal where then they get like celebrated in a way that they shouldn't get celebrated.
And you can
walk
away.
That's why I said along for a Steve Bartman thing where it's like, somebody does something stupid, they should get shamed into oblivion so that they never want anything to do with society ever again.
That literally ruined that guy's life.
Ruin this guy's life.
No, that's not a...
He's going to be on every talk show in America now, and everyone's going to be like, oh, this guy.
Yeah, that's part of ruining his life.
No, it's
everybody
not.
Calling.
He's going to look at it as a good thing. He's going to go around and be like, social media? People are taking pictures with him and posting it on Instagram. His life isn't ruined from this.
Yeah, no, but again, like... At some point,
he's being enabled to do more stupid things than other people are being enabled to do stupid
things. But at some point, you can choose to either interact with it or walk away. If you're reacting in anger.
So you're trying to speak to everybody out there and just be like, do not interact anymore.
Yes, ignore him. Ignore him.
I mean, that is the way to do it, but you know that
it's
not going to happen.
Guys, do you realize how many times a day I make an active choice of, oh, you're just an idiot. honestly, it's even in things like in personal relationships when somebody's just having a bad day and being a jackass. Like I used to, when I was young and married, man, you step one tone out of line with me and I would lose my mind. And I realized at some point, oh, she just had a bad day. Okay. Oh, okay. It's not about me. But we make every idiot. We make into this case of this is what's wrong. And we keep speaking about the same 5% of morons. And I'm just kind of like, okay, let's address it. Wrong. Don't do that. Bad boy. You're banned. Let's never talk about you. I don't like, and listen, you're right in that Jesse Rogers putting out this idiot's name. No, we should forget his name. As a matter of fact, he should just be given a number now because he's just a moron. All right, you've clearly taken yourself out of the equation. But like even this conversation we're having with it, we're giving power to this idiot.
You put it on the topic sheets. Like, that wasn't my doing.
Well, yeah, because you can't have a sports talk show and not talk about this ass clown in some way. But like at some point, if a week from now somebody chooses to have him on the podcast to extend this story, okay, even if you're coming at it from a point of disgust, kind of on you. Like at some point we gotta just stop. Like we just gotta go. It's like seeing a piece of crap on the ground. Hey, look, there's crap. Well, okay, I guess I'm not gonna step in it. I'm gonna keep going. But we keep like because you are speaking to the bigger picture in society, and you're right. Like yeah, it's annoying. It's vexing. And social media has empowered these people.
Yeah,
it's also empowered a lot of people who haven't had a voice.
I am very well aware of like the pros and cons of social media. Well, like there's some benefits to it. But like,
we're just getting into these thought bubbles with guys like this, where it's like I don't care to be defined by jerks anymore. I don't. At some point I want to forget this guy ever existed. He's just the biggest, dumbest, galootiest galoot that you've ever seen. And I just want to remember his stupid face from how like joyful he looked as he was like, I get ball. And then I just want to forget he ever existed. We waste so much of our time going to the absolute worst of us, right? And listen, the other 95%, we all got our hangups. We all got our qualms. None of us are perfect. But like, I think we should just say, oh, 5%. We should just have a shorthand of just like, not a good person. Okay, cool.
I agree with you. But the problem is like the 5% ends up being somehow vocalized in a way where like we all still end up seeing it. And it all just becomes like I said, it allows these idiots to wear these things like a badge of honor. Like, they get to walk around and be like, I'm the guy that ripped the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove. Huh? That's me. You want me to make an appearance on your podcast? You want me to make an appearance on your talk show? You want me to make an appearance here? You want me to make an appearance there? Maybe he's going to start doing birthday parties and bring baseball gloves. I don't know, kids.
I mean, David Chapman shot John Lennon because he wanted to be famous. And then once a year, we get some sort of update on Mark David Chapman on, hey, are you still the crazy bastard that shot John Lennon? Yes, social media has amplified this. We've always done this. And then everybody goes, I wonder why people keep doing this stuff. I'm not lecturing you, by the way. It's just this idea of,
I'm just speaking to the overall frustration in that idea.
Yeah,
that's my point.
But I guess my point is, at some point, you just don't have to engage. And, for this guy, if the Yankees...
But you have to convince everybody of that, though. That's the problem. You have to convince everybody not to engage, because there's always going to be somebody that helps amplify this message. Like the people who took a picture with him and then posted on social media like, hey, we met the guy who was doing the glove thing.
Yeah, listen, but if 95% of people are people who aren't Yankees fans, the 5%, overwhelming majority of the 5% are Yankees fans. And the only reason... people coming out and doing, oh, he sparked the Yankees. No, he didn't. He's a moron. Morons contribute nothing to society. They exist to wear their lame ass Aaron Judge jersey and their hat just trashily enough to go ahead and, hey, I'm a real Yankee. No, you're an idiot. But I think whoever it was it Big Cat that said oh, it sparked the Yankees. Funny, not true, not helpful. So I don't know. At some point, I can't continue to do this thing of, I think you give power to them when you're like, I'm so outraged. I'm not outraged. No. Major League Baseball handled it. The Yankees handled it. When they don't handle it, that's when you go to the outrage.
I'm not outraged by the way it's played out since, to the fact that he's getting banned. He's not allowed to come tonight. That's all fine. It's more so, like I said, just the idea that, what happens from here if he's becoming this historic figure in Yankees baseball history now of oh, he sparked the Yankees and he did that thing at the game and it's going to be talked about now. And it's just again, I just think it's wrong that we celebrate these people.
I don't see anybody I see so few people celebrating, and I see 97% of people shouting those idiots.
Maybe
down.
I'm only thinking of the Jesse Rogers tweet. I don't know. Maybe that's still, I just can't get out of my head that this guy went and interviewed the guy after the game. I just think it was stupid.
I mean, that guy could be capable of anything.
To your point.
A female reporter at a local event, something like that.
You said to just let it be. That's my point for Jesse Rogers. It's dude, you didn't have to leave the stadium and go track this guy down. You could have just stayed at the stadium and wrote about the game that just played out in front of you and the fact that the Yankees extended the series and their season, right? Sought that out.
What is more of a commentary on society? The 99 reporters that said, that wasn't cool, ban that guy, ban him for life.
Hopefully those people.
Or the
people.
One jack
yes.
wagon.
Hopefully that, those people.
No, not hopefully. If 99% of people say something's wrong and 1% say it isn't, I think the good is winning.
Sometimes the 1% just somehow stands out. I don't know, Nick.
216.
You know enough about this, you've seen this enough in society to know sometimes the 1% is so loud that it becomes how we remember certain things.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
But I'm just done empowering those people. I'm done empowering the cynical, the jaded, the flat-out stupid. I'm done with this idea of, oh, it's the worst times. No, there's a lot of statistics that say it's actually a good time. And unfortunately, we're never eradicating the morons. Unfortunately,
so we shouldn't get this guy on the show, is what you're saying.
I actually was thinking he could be the new co-host. But I don't know if we still do a tryout.
Is he going to apply?
Well, you got to apply first before. I mean, come on.
On the top of his resume, stole the baseball from Mookie Betts.
Real jack wagon. That's the guy we got to work with, Nick
real
Wilson.
Real ass hat.
When I think of real ass hats, I think of make him work with Nick Wilson. Well, that'll teach him.
You could just call the show Two Ass Hats. It'd be perfect.
I don't think that's a good name. No, I don't think that's. I mean, it might be accurate, but I don't think that's a good name. Two Ass Hats return coming up next on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive. Lot to get to here, guys. A lot of ins, a lot of outs. I got to talk about LeBron.
More ways than one.
And Bronny returning to Cleveland as well.
Oh,
but
wait, that was an off-air conversation.
Nobody heard that. You can now go beyond 6 to 10 a.m. with Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima on Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. So as we kind of get into today's show here, I heard you were making some accusations last night about your boy Nicky Dubs.
I was. Yeah. So
yeah, I think you're fat profiling over there, and we're gonna bring it to the air right now.
Well, it was more so I was trying to go down the list of the people that it could possibly be who did this thing that I'm about to share.
Okay.
There was only two people.
This sounds like I'm about to be like arrested here. Yeah, can you be more specific?
You're actually the person who tried to grab the ball to Mookie Betts' glove. No.
Yeah.
So basically,
I'm a New York fan. Hey.
I got to the station last night to host Jonathan Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin in place of Jonathan Peterlin, who was obviously on with Nick. And I noticed when I walked in that there was a package of peeps shaped like pumpkins that were sitting on like the little table in the lobby area when we walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear that it was completely sealed when I got here. Because
mm-hmm.
I always look at the table because sometimes people leave food and you're like, oh, I might want to try that. And I saw peeps and I was like, I'm good. So I kept walking. I think maybe like first break of the show or second break of the show, I go to get water, which is also in the same area. And now I notice that the package is open. And so I start getting a little skeptical, like, okay, who's the culprit that ate the peep?
Mm-hmm.
Because peeps are a very taboo thing, as we know. And so I asked Michael Bohm.
Hey, you into peeps? No, why would you ask me?
No. So Michael Bohm said, no, but I am going to eat one. And I was like, oh, okay, Bohm. All right, well, we know it wasn't you yet. I asked Mackenzie, who was on the updates, and she said, never in my life would I eat a peep. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines.
She is about 83 pounds, so that makes sense.
That's true. And then I texted Jax, and I said, Jax, did you eat the peep? And hold on, let me see if I can find his exact response here. Jax says to me, I wouldn't touch a peep with a hazmat suit on. Uh-huh.
Which makes sense, because Jax is about 85 pounds.
So that basically limited to, I was like, all right, it was either Kayla, but I didn't think it was Kayla. JP,
yeah. You never start with the females on staff when it comes to eating food, by the way.
JP doesn't strike me as somebody that would ever eat a peep, ever.
Okay, what about him?
JP doesn't strike me as a peep guy. Like, I don't know. Uh-huh. Just the way he carries himself.
So I strike you as a peep guy is what you're saying.
I just thought that maybe it was you.
Yeah, why?
Because
what specifically
that was
about
the only person I had left.
What, you know there are other people that work at this station.
But there was only so many people between when I got here and when I went back there to get water that could have eaten the peep and opened the package.
We literally have three other afternoon drive hosts. Paula, Glenn, and my buddy down the hall, who now I'm blanking on. You're making me sound like an a-hole on air. Kelly, thank you very much. But no, like you could have gone anywhere, and you started with a fact.
They were all here at 7 o'clock when you were walking out, though?
Other than my potential for diabetes, why do I look like a man who likes peeps?
Because I just thought maybe you were the culprit. I don't know.
So it's in there, I'm fat. That's just owned it.
I mean, I'm not going to be mean about it. I just thought maybe you'd eat the peep.
I think the insinuation is the meanest part, not calling me fat.
I don't think that you don't discriminate much when it comes to your sweets, I would assume, is the way that I viewed it.
Because I'm fat. your word salad is more offensive than just calling me a fat ass. You don't look like you discriminate between like things that are edible and things that aren't edible. Like, you realize how much worse that is than just, no, I saw candy missing and I thought, yeah, fat guy, he's the first one to do it.
I didn't just go to you. I literally thought, I went through the list of people that it could possibly be. I started with Bohm. I started with Mackenzie because they were in my vicinity. And then I was like, all right, who else was on that show? I thought Jax. I was like, I don't know that it was Kayla, maybe JP or Nick or between the two.
And you shot all of them down until you got to me.
More of the peep guy. So did you eat the peep or not?
I absolutely didn't. I cannot stand peeps except glaucoma season and Easter. I don't understand Halloween peeps. Like, that just seems like a stretch to me.
It's just them getting in on the same gimmick that, like, all the other candy products. Like, Snickers has a pumpkin-shaped Snickers now.
Now, walk yourself back on that. That's some good eats.
No, I don't hate
pumpkin
Snickers.
Reese's.
Snickers are great. I'm not trying to disparage Snickers.
But I was just going to say, like, put some respect on the chocolate name there, okay? Like, Reese's pumpkins, oh, my God.
By the way, Reese's shapes taste different than the regular Reese's.
They do. They taste better.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, they have a different flavor to them, and it's better than the regular.
I'm beginning to realize why maybe you profiled me. Ross Tucker next on Odyssey. 92.3 The Fan.